You could buy our new health book. It'd be on Amazon that we have co-written together. No, I'm just kidding. I'm only kidding. No, all that stuff that Pastor was just talking about with the weight loss is it's simple. Just eat less, you know, eat certain things and don't eat other things. But it's my wife gets so tired of hearing me say it's mitochondrial health is what it is. And mitochondria, everybody, it's your power. I'm not going to get into the whole science thing. I'm really not. But
metabolic mitochondria therapy, MMT.
So anyway, it works. And listen, if I didn't lose 1 pound, the way I feel is more, it's health. You know what I mean? We take medications for ailments that give us more ailments. You know what I mean? And then it becomes and it's really simple. The way our ancestors used to eat, they were hunter-gatherers. It was feast or famine. You know, they would hunt, they'd feast, and then they would starve for 3 or 4 days till they found something else to eat. So the methodology is kind of the same, and it's just taking glucose and sugar and those kind of things out of your diet, the carbs, which really are the root cause of inflammation, which causes every kind of disease known to man, is... Just little snippets. He's going to really get into the real thing on Saturday. But anyway, that's in essence what it is. So, and you know what? It's cheap because you buy less food. You know, you buy less food and you you know. So praise the Lord. Anyway, how many are glad they came to church today?
Amen.
God is good. Amen. Yeah, but then if I put it way out here, then I feel like I had to walk halfway down the aisle, and I don't want to do that. I'll go right like this. I got plenty of room here.
Okay.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you that your word is truth, it's life, it produces hope, it produces health, it produces healing, it gives us wisdom. Father, it's direction, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And Lord, as we study your word today, Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, to help us, to instill truth and impart truth to our hearts. Father, that we not just hear your words, Father, but we put them into practice so that we can be all that you desire for us to be, so that you can and your will shall be done in our lives and in this church and in this day and age in which we live, Father. We thank you that all that's said and done would point people into a closer walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bible, we're going to turn to the book of Luke here for a minute. And the title of my message today is Small Things Make a Big Difference. Small things. And, you know, it's the small things that matter the most in life. And sometimes we get so focused on looking at the big things and we want the big things that we miss the little things. And a bunch of little things make up big things. But it's the small things in life that make a huge, huge difference. And so today, you know, this is going to be a soul-searching type of a message today. Areas that we can check and just, I mean, so you know, whenever we minister a message, Pastor, myself, or whoever else, Frank, Darrell, whoever's ministering from this pulpit here, we're preaching to ourselves. You know, these are things that as the body of Christ in general, all of us, God puts things on our hearts to share, but it's things that it helps us grow. It helps us become and do what God's asked us to do. And you know, we're surrounded by destruction. You know, it's constant, it's prevalent, it's in the news, it's in our face. But somewhere in the middle of all that, there is hope. And that hope is carried around in our hearts. And we share this hope of salvation, this hope of freedom from oppression and those types of things. We carry that around in our heart. And we miss, at times, we miss the little things that we need to adjust in our life because we're focused on big things and big issues. And so I want to just bring to light today just a couple of things that I believe will help us. And again, at the end of this message, I believe that if we do some soul searching and look inside, we can pinpoint some areas in our own life that we can improve, that we can tighten up. And to be honest with you, it's only going to be one thing that I'm going to ask you to do. And you're going to see this, you're going to see through our message today. But let's start in Luke chapter 16. I want to read this to you, and I'm going to read the We'll just start right in verse 10. This is the story of the shrewd manager. We know that, and if you're not familiar with it, I encourage you to read that. But verse 10 is really what I want to look at. And then Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10 is also going to be part of our text. But it says in verse 10, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, it says, unless you are faithful, say faithful.
Faithful.
Unless you are faithful in small matters, say small matters. Because you know what? Small does matter. Small does matter. If unless you are faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. You will not be faithful in large ones. If you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with great responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's money, why should you be trusted with money of your own? For no man can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And this isn't a message about that. This is a message of focusing on the small things that truly make a big difference. And I have a lot of references, a lot of quotes. I'm a real history kind of buff, so I like looking at fact kind of stuff. That's just how I am. But imagine the temple lying in ruins. How many remember the story in Zechariah? In fact, you know what? Turn over to there, and it's probably going to take you 10 minutes to find Zechariah because it's not the book that most of you read out of, but it took me about that long too. But Zechariah chapter 4, it's right next to Micah and Jonah, in case you were wondering. You probably don't know that one either, but that's where the pages stick together. Mine are stuck together. I'm having a hard time finding it. Okay, here it is. Zechariah chapter 4. And I'm going to read this just so that we get an idea of what's going on here. And this is a vision, okay, that Zechariah shared his vision with the people of Israel at the time. And it goes along the lines of not despising small beginnings. You know, and again, our focus today is the small things make a big difference in our life. They do, and I want us to really focus on that. And I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but at times in our own life, when we get so busy with stuff going on that we miss the small things, you know. And there's a saying that says that it's the little foxes that spoil the entire vine. You know, it isn't a fire that burns the whole thing down. It's that gradual nipping at the root that over time causes the whole thing to fail and to rot. And the same is true in our life spiritually, you know, or in any area of our life. It's the little things that sometimes we overlook that actually make the big difference in our life. So Zechariah chapter 4, and again, this is, he was sharing his vision with the people of Israel, but starting in, just to give a little background, we'll just read it in the first verse. It says, then the angel who had been talking with me returned and woke me as though I had been asleep. What do you see now? He asked. I answered, I see a gold lampstand with a bowl of oil on top of it. Around the bowl are seven lamps, each one having seven sprouts with wicks. And I see two olive trees, one on each side of the bowl. And really, I'm going to skip down because this has really, I mean, it's just information. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But verse 8 says, then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me. Verse 10, do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. So we cannot despise. Imagine the temple lying in ruins and having to be rebuilt from the ground up. That's what things were like when Zechariah shared his vision with the people of Israel. Some thought it couldn't be done, and others thought that their particular contribution would make no difference at all. How many of us feel that way? Sometimes we sit in the church and we feel like, you know what, they're not really going to, it's not going to matter. They're not going to notice. They're not going to miss. My contribution really means nothing. And imagine if everybody had that mindset. We wouldn't have chairs here. We wouldn't have carpet. We would have nothing. We would have absolutely nothing. So your small, that you may think is small, is a huge It has a huge impact on the body of Christ in general and the church that you're part of.
Amen.
How important is it, is one person to the success of a local church? I mean, how important is one person to the success of a local church? I'm here to tell you, it's the matter of success or not success. One person. We are the body of Christ. You understand? The foot can't say to the hand that I'm more important than you are. Because without our hands, what do we have? We can run all over the place, but we can't do much. And if we just had hands, we'd be stuck here doing nothing with just hands. So we're the body of Christ. Not one small part is insignificant. Every one of us play a vital role. In you play a vital role in at your employment, wherever you work. You play a vital role in your involvement here in the church. You play a vital role if you're a husband, in your marriage, in your family. Same thing for a wife. Every little thing that we do makes a difference. The small things. And I'm going to show you a couple things here. It's been said almost all the greatest successes in life are achieved by minuscule margins. Minuscule margins, some of the greatest achievements. For example, the fastest runner in the world is no more than a few fractions of a second ahead of his competitors. But he's the fastest runner in the world, only separated by a very small, minuscule, insignificant fraction of a second, but that separates him from being number one to being number two. So the small things absolutely make a difference. I use this example. If a plane was going to California and it's taken off Newark, JFK, wherever, and the pilot is off by 1 degree, it's only 1 degree, it's so minuscule, right? It's hardly anything. It's hardly anything for the first 5 minutes. It could be corrected. But over the entire time of that flight, be it 5 hours, whatever it is, if he's 1 degree to the north, he's going to end up in Canada, Alaska somewhere, not L.A. If he's 1 degree to the south, he's going to end up in Mexico somewhere, who knows where. So you see, we have the mindset at times that it's really not a big deal. It's so small, it doesn't matter, it's insignificant. But these insignificant things absolutely matter. They change the outcome of your relationships. They change the outcome of a successful local church. Because if everybody had that mindset that my stuff really doesn't matter, then like I said, we would have nothing. Who would do the work, the little stuff? You know, and if we cannot be faithful, again, I told you, this is soul searching because we all, this is for me, it's for the pastors, it's for anyone in here. You know, if we cannot be faithful in little things, God will never be able to trust us with bigger responsibilities. You know, and what are the little things? The little things are coming into a church and seeing a garbage can that's filled. So you may not be the custodian here. All right, but if you see it filled, you take the initiative. Hey, you know what? That garbage needs to go out. This is my building. I mean, listen, at my house, I take the garbage out. I can't say, oh, well, I didn't fill it with garbage. I didn't put one thing in there. These slobs of the women that I have in my house, take the garbage out. No, I take the garbage out. I take the, because it's my house. It's my house, you know? And I could never be successful in any other venture in my life, be it pastoring, any kind of work, if I can't take the garbage out in my own house.
Amen.
You understand that? So it's called being, and what? And there's no real skill in that. You don't need a degree. It's simple. It's minuscule. But yet it's huge, because what if nobody took the garbage out? You guys are probably saying to yourself, I can't believe we're talking about garbage. But because what if nobody took the garbage out? Think about that. It's nobody took it out. Your house would be filled with garbage. Spiritually speaking, if we don't take the garbage out every now and again, what happens? It becomes an uninhabitable place. Condemned. But yet it's something so simple and so small, you know? And it's the same thing here at the church. So I'm wanting to build this thing for you so you see how important that the little things are that sometimes we just take for granted. You know, I have another story here. In 1963, now listen to this. This is, again, I love history and I love facts. In 1963, an MIT meteorologist, Edward Lorenz, presented the hypothesis that became known as the butterfly effect. How many have ever heard of the butterfly effect? Okay. He theorized that a minor event, okay, a minor event like the flapping of a butterfly's wings in Brazil, okay, could conceivably alter wind currents sufficiently to cause a tornado in Texas. Okay? Lorenz came to the simple yet profound conclusion, minuscule, listen to this, this is so important, minuscule changes in input can make macroscopic differences in output. Now, it may have went over your head for a second, but simply speaking, you know, we make pizza here. Angela makes the dough, Anthony will make the dough, and when you make dough, you put yeast in the dough, right? And it's a real minuscule amount that seems so significant that some might say, is it even, do you really even need it? But yet, if you did not put it in, you'd have no dough. Do you understand? So, minuscule input, macroscopic output. And it's the same thing with our lives spiritually. So what I'm proposing today in encouraging you along these lines and myself to pick one thing. I know we may be sitting here and, you know, there's a multitude of things that I'd like to do different in that I'd like to change in my life, you know, maybe habits, maybe things that I'd like to improve on, you know, and that's all well and good. And we should want to improve. We should want to make the church better. We should want to make our families, our marriages, our work habits, everything we should want to be making better. But at times we get so overwhelmed with where do I start? Because we want to put every pan that we have in the fire and start wanting to change everything at once. And what ultimately happens? Nothing changes. Nothing changes. So my challenge today is pick one thing in your life. You know, we're going into a new year, and, you know, there's going to be a million and one resolutions that are made that last either a day, an hour, 30 seconds, a month, whatever. Okay? But I'm saying pick something in your life, whether it be, listen, if you want to lose weight, if that's something, whether it's spiritual, natural, whatever, if you want to be more of a giver, if you want to be able to walk in love and treat people more kindly, if you want to be a more patient person, I want to be a more patient person because the people who drive on the road should not be driving on the road, okay? So I want patience in my life, okay? I do because it really irritates me. So, and there's a bunch of other things, but when I think of what I'd like to really change the most, what I'd like to see change in my life, it'd be being more patient. I'm patient, but to that, that just drives me crazy. I'm like, I don't know what people are thinking. You're either going to drive or just leave your car at home and walk. It'll be cheaper, safer for everybody because it just makes no sense. But anyway, so one thing, one decision, one change, one risk, one idea, that is all that it takes. You don't have to make 100 changes. You understand that? Not 100 changes. All that does, think about this, all that does is divide your energy by 100 and results in a 1% chance of success. 1% chance of success if you're looking to change 100 things. If you're looking to change one thing, just one thing, what is your success rate? 100%. With diligence, hard work, perseverance, it's not just going to fall in your lap, but become an expert at one thing, not a novice at 50 different things. You know what I mean? And so my encouragement would be, listen, if reading the Bible, and listen, I think we should all read the Bible every day. It is the most essential ingredient in a Christian's life. You know, it is absolutely essential. Just like we lose weight by not eating food, we lose weight spiritually by not reading the Word. And, you know, we want to be fat as a house spiritually.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, we don't want to be skinny Christians. Amen. Spiritually skinny Christians. So I would encourage you, then make it reading the Bible. If it's praying, if, hey, listen, I want to focus on that one small thing, put some input. One little bit of input makes a huge macroscopic effect on your output. And you'll notice, you know, you start reading the Bible a little bit, and you start to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you want more and more of it. And so you have to be 100% committed to one change, and it will take an all-out effort. But that one change has the potential to make a 100% difference in your life. A 100% difference in your life. You know, one change. Understanding the concept of giving, of sowing your seed. You know, grasp that, dig into it, and that has the potential to make a 100% difference in your life. One thing. See, so it's the small things that make a big difference in our life. That's exactly what it is. So the input and the output, it might seem minuscule. According to George McMillan, a university swimming coach, the fastest swimmer is only separated from the others by a few short inches. You know? And we may say, wow, that guy's the fastest. And I'm always fascinated by it, too, because I'm like, he's super fast, but it's not like the other guy was a slacker. I mean, he's like a half an inch slower. But small things make a big, big difference. It's gold or bronze. You know what I mean? Gold or silver or bronze. And all three of them, great competitors. But that little small, minuscule thing makes a huge difference. One little wire doesn't appear important on your car, right? But when it's disconnected, your car will not go anywhere. You know? And sometimes we don't even realize it. Well, what is it? Or in our lives, why are things going the way they're going? You know, why does it seem like things are falling apart? It's at those times in our life that we need to get before the Lord. And one thing we can rest assured of, it's not God. He hasn't forgot. He hasn't lost the recipe. He hasn't, forgotten how to watch over his word to perform it. If things are not going right, that's when we need to get on our face and say, God, show me where I'm missing it. You know, and then make that one minuscule, small adjustment in your life, and you'll see a huge, huge difference, happening. And, you know, and think about that in the church. If we all could understand and get that concept, and it's my prayer today that it goes from our ears and our head and into our heart, you know, where it can take root and grow. But if we as the body of Christ, and I'm talking about this particular local church because that's where we're part of, we're members here, if we would get that mentality, think about the impact that this church would have in this community. You know, I was sharing some of this last night, and, you know, lately my daughter's a senior at high school, so she's going to be going to college, and we've been doing the college tours and open houses and all over the place. So we've seen a bunch of colleges, my wife and I and Angelina, and some of the colleges, as soon as I pull on the campus, I said to myself, they should pay me to come here. You know, I shouldn't be paying them to send my daughter here, because it was just, I'm thinking to myself, and what registered for me at the time was how important a first impression is. I didn't even get to see a building, talk to an admissions, talk to any professors. Didn't get to look at anything. Didn't get to see any of that. I just pulled on the campus, and there was nobody to direct me to tell me I never been here before, where I even need to go. There's 50 buildings. I'm looking at them. Okay, we're supposed to be here at 10. I have no idea where this name of this building is. It's so simple things like that. First impressions, I kid you not. I didn't, at the first college I went to, I'm like, all right, maybe that's just how it is. And then I started getting frustrated because now I'm late for the thing. I was there 20 minutes early, couldn't find where I had to go. So now the whole time I'm saying to my wife, you know what, why don't they have someone here directing so we know where we're going? Something, anything, I don't care what it was. A happy face waving at me, anything, I don't care. But give me something. I don't have no idea where I'm going. So first impressions are huge. After seeing a bunch of schools, I start to see what I'm looking for. The very last one that we went to, I was so, as soon as we drove on, I didn't even get out of the car. As soon as we pulled in, there was a student ambassador standing there, all excited, energetic. Hey, how you doing? You're here for the open house? And I just looked at my wife. I'm like, she's going here. She's going here. I don't even care what everything else. I'm like, this is where she's going. And I just looked at them. I'm like, wow, yes. How you do? I said, and they showed, I drove 50 feet. And guess what? There was another energetic ambassador. Said, come this way. How you doing? And I was so, so impressed with how excellent they listen, it may have been smoke and mirrors. I don't know. But guess what? It had me hooked. It had me hooked before I ever got to get inside. I didn't even get out of the car. And the whole time, that's all I kept saying to them. And Angelina's like, gosh, all right, Dad. Because everywhere I went, there was an ambassador. And they're like, hey, how you doing? You need this? Go here, go there. And I just was like, wow, this is unbelievable. This is the way an open house should be at a college. You know? And so, I'm going there. That's exactly where I'm going. So, small things make a huge difference, okay? That is, there's no real skill. You don't have to go to college to be an ambassador, to stand there and greet somebody and say, hey, how's it going? You're here for the open house? The building up there, you'll see someone else right up the, it's small. It's small, it's minuscule in the grand scheme of things. But how effective and important is it? Look how it, I'll be talking about this school forever. I really will, because of my past experiences. Have you ever gone to a restaurant that was just blew you away? And you can't help but tell everybody about it. It's the greatest. It's the best. And how many have ever been to a restaurant you were like, that place is awful. I'll never go back there. You know? So as we're doing the tour, I was just so elated with how great this place was and talking to all the, it was just a great experience. And it's the College of New Jersey, in case you're wondering, because I know you were all like wondering, what school is it? TCNJ, man, right here, which is even, I like even more because it's only 45 minutes away. So anyway, and there was a few others that we saw that were good too, but I really fell in love with this place. I mean, I want to go. I said to them, I'm going here. I want to come here, you know? So as we're walking around, it just hits me. I'm like, first impressions, man. What about the church? What do people, listen, the message, if I may say so myself, if I'm going to boast, well, I'm going to boast right now. You're not going to get a better word and a better message than here in this pulpit. Whether it's pastor, myself, Daryl, Frank, anybody who stands up here is going to give you the uncompromised word, not our opinions, the word, which is going to help us grow. That goes without say, but people, just like myself, made my mind up. I wouldn't send my kid here. If they paid her to come here, I wouldn't go. What is their impression driving past our church? Just driving past it. Because that has a lot to do whether it's appealing for them to even want to drive into the parking lot. And then what happens when they come into the parking lot? Does their car bottom out because there's a big hole? And they're like, ugh. There is. Yeah, there is. I'm saying what I know and what I see. And again, this is soul searching. This is for all of us. I'm talking about small things. This is God's house. We want to be proud of our Father's house. We want to be enthusiastic to have people come here because what we have is excellent. It's life-changing. And it's first impressions. You know, so before they ever hear any of us speak, they already have a notion in their mind whether they're ever coming back here again. And they could come in here and be bedazzled with the greatest message they've ever heard. But guess what's going to stand out in their mind? I got a flat tire now because I hit a pothole, you know what I mean, in the parking lot. And it goes, listen, there's a message that I'm working on in Chronicles about how our houses are great, but yet his house lies in ruins, and I'm just talking. Listen, these I'm talking about small things in our life. This is not to condemn anybody because, listen, you're here. You guys are committed. You sow your seed here, and we're doing things. But we can always do more. We can always do more. I don't know about you, but I want the first impression of people driving by. I want them to know, oh, yeah, that there's the one with that awesome new LED sign out front, which is what we want. That's capital project for us. Because that's going to draw people in. Listen, we're not trying to sell them a product. We know that what we have will change their life forever. Amen. But when you have competition around, you know, people are going to go what's more appealing. And it's just common sense. We need to maintain a manicure. So first impressions, okay? First impressions are everything. They're small, they're minuscule, and it seems like nothing, but it makes the difference whether a person is going to sink their teeth into what you're telling them. It absolutely does. And we're all, listen, we know that firsthand because we've experienced it in our own lives, going to different places, you know? And I've experienced it a lot recently. And It's very important. It's very important, the little things. Little things are extremely important. Listen to this. Not because of what they are in and of themselves. Little things, they're extremely important. Not because of what they are in and of themselves. Rather, because they are part of something that depends heavily upon them for success. Do you understand that? The small things in and of themselves may be nothing. Yeast in and of itself, I mean, nobody's going to miss yeast. If we don't have yeast ever again, well, we may not have the pastas and the breads and the things like we, in good dough, we'll be eating crackers, you know. But in the grand scheme of things, in and of itself, yeast will not be missed very much. But yet, it has a huge effect on the success of whatever it's put into. We have a huge success on whatever we're part of. The small things, casual kind of an attitude, you know, laid back, it doesn't really matter, I'm insignificant, I'll just slide in, slide out, it'll be no problem, has a huge, huge, huge impact on the success of anything that you're part of. And we're talking about this local church here. You know, and being part of this church and the success of this church should be prominent in our heart. You know why? Because we love and we honor God. Amen. We serve God. And if we serve God, this is how we serve Him. We're not in heaven yet. You know, we serve right here. And this is how we serve God, by putting our hand to the plow in the small, the little areas, the things that seem insignificant and minuscule, but have the most impact on our life. You know, and being proud of who you invite here. You know? And there's things that we can do. If we open up our eyes, we can see areas. We can see things that are small, that need some detail and they need some attention. You know, and just like as simple as taking the garbage out in your house or vacuuming the floor every now and again or washing your dishes, those things are insignificant. They're minuscule. They're a pain in the neck, but they're necessary for your house to be habitable. Just like those things are necessary here in the church. Please don't ever underestimate your importance to those around you or the God above you. God placed you on this earth for a purpose. Amen. He led you to this church for a purpose. And that purpose is extremely important. Extremely important. I want to read this quote to you. The happiness of most people, listen, the happiness of most people is not ruined by great catastrophes or fatal errors, but by the repetition of slowly destructive little things. You know what? Sometimes I wish it was the great catastrophes that got our attention, but it isn't those things. Sometimes we experience great catastrophes and fatal errors in our life, but it's that slow, just constant eating and taking little bit at a time that ruins the happiness and the success that we have in life. You know, it goes in our life personally, our spiritual life, our church life, our relationships, whatever it may be. It's the repetition of slowly destructive little things. You know, Foundation is everything, guys. Foundation is the most important thing. You know, we talked about on Saturdays, I did a whole series about finishing well. You know, it's one thing to start a race, but it's one thing to finish the race. You know, we got a lot of people that start and very few finish. You know, and Paul was our example, how he finished well, and he was encouraging Timothy along the same lines, and that's what we kind of studied. But it comes down to foundations. You know, if anybody knows anything about construction or whatever, you know, you could have two same identical specs of a building, okay? One, you can dig footings, you could pour the concrete, you could put the block and build it, okay? One, you can bypass all that and just put the building right on the dirt. They're going to look exactly the same, landscape them the same exact way, you know. Do all that, decorate them, paint them. You would think, drive them by them, you'd say, wow, those are the same exact, and boy, are those beautiful buildings. But if the storm comes and the wind blows and the rain and the snow starts coming, what building do you think is going to stand? The one with the foundation. The one with the footing. The Bible talks about that. The man who built his house on the rock, and then the man who didn't think it was important enough and built on the sand. You know? And those small things. That I look at the Empire State Building. I'm fascinated at the construction and the steelwork and how, I mean, we've all seen like the old pictures of the guys on the I-beams eating their lunch over, you know, Brooklyn or Manhattan, you know, and it just blows me away how they put those buildings together, and it's just incredible to me. And especially back then, they didn't even have some of the equipment and technology like we have. But as big as that building is, the foundation is what makes that building what it is and how it's been able to stay as long. And think about this. It's not just one big footing. It's block upon block. And a little block may seem minuscule and insignificant, but it means everything to the foundation of that structure. Because you take that one minuscule little block out, and what's going to happen? You just compromised the entire structure. Simple things. Do you understand? Small things matter most. They make a big difference. And I'm trying to get us today, as I wrap this up, because we're going to receive communion, to look inside. And what are the little things, what are the small things in our own life that God has been dealing with us? Or that every time we do it, we're like, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. Or, man, I should have went to church. I should get up and go to church. Or I should get up and pray. Or I should get up and read today. You know, listen, I understand how life gets, and it gets hectic, but I know personally, and I'm guilty, and anyone in this room that says they're not guilty of it, they're lying, pastors, preachers, I don't care who we are, have been guilty of getting so busy with life, not bad things, but just life, that we neglect our time with God. We're not turning our back. That's not even what I'm saying. I'm just talking about the devotion in the morning of giving God the first choice of our day. Because we get busy, we look at our schedule. And listen, and I notice in my life that when that happens, things start to unravel. Things start to come unravel. Because our success, that one little thing, has a huge impact on the rest of my life. It has a huge impact on my family because I'm responsible in my household for the spiritual overtone in my house. As the husband, as a father, as the spiritual leader in my house. And if I neglect that because I get busy with life, I'm affecting the success of my house. I'm affecting their attitudes. I'm affecting how their perception of things. And listen, take it from the house and bring it to this house. If we come in here the same way, we affect the overtone of this house, of the temple of God. We do. And God wants to perform miracles in our midst. He wants to demonstrate his power today on the earth through us. Through us. That's how he's going to do it. He's looking, just like the Marines, for a few good men. God is looking for a few good people that will commit 100% to changing them little things in our life so that he can demonstrate his power in and through us. You know, and great things are done by a series of small things brought together. Amen. A series of small things brought together That's how great things are done. And you know, there's one more quote that I want to read. I don't know about you, but I hope that you've been encouraged today. It encourages me to be able to share this, because, you know, we could get caught up in the cares of life and what's going on. But the most important thing that we can do as Christians, as the church, is to give God number one place in our life. You know, and not worry about changing the 50 different things. Listen, if you tried to change 50 different things in your life, you have a 2% success rate. Okay? If you try to change 25 things at once, you have a 4%. Okay? This is simple math. Change one thing. It gives you the best odds. Amen. It gives you absolutely the best odds. And John Wooden, a UCLA 10 NCAA champ, he makes this quote. It says, "It's the little things that are vital. Little things make big things happen." And obviously he knows what he's talking about, because he had big things happen in his career. And so my encouragement to you today, while we are going to start to hand out the communion elements, because we're going to receive the Lord's Supper. It's the first Sunday, and that's how we do it here. And it's a good time for us to receive the Lord's Supper, because my prayer today is that we recognize an area in our life. Just one thing, that's all I'm asking. I'm asking you to commit 100% to recognizing one area in your life that you want to change. You know, don't get caught up in 50 things. Because we get, and what happens, we get overwhelmed and we just stall. And nothing happens. Recognize one issue, one thing in your life that you want to improve on, or that you want to eliminate, or you want to begin to cultivate, and then give 100% to it. That's what I'm asking us today. And you know what? You're going to see. You're going to see how much of an impact that has on our services, on our church, in your household, at your job, in your community. You know, and it'll change the way you view this building, this house. It will. It will. You'll see something. You'll see a light bulb out. You'll see, and you may not know where they are, but you'll go and you'll inquire. Hey, I noticed the light's out. Where are the bulbs? Can I help and do that? You know, I noticed that we need some paint on the walls in there. You know, it looks, and it'll cause you to think along those lines. And you know what? God will pour his Spirit upon this place in a way that we've never seen before. And you'll see increase come in every way, spiritually, financially, physically. You'll see it start to come in your life. And so I'm encouraging you along those lines to look in your heart today and recognize that it's the small things that make a big, big difference in our life. Amen? Why don't we start handing out the communion elements? And while they're doing that, I have to get up here. I got to play the guitar, and I got to do communion, and I got to sing, and I got to try to figure this all out. So, give me 2 seconds. I haven't done communion while I had to do worship yet. And I also want to pray, and not just, you know, maybe you're here today, and this is the first time you've heard a message like this. You know, let's continue. Let's stay in an attitude of worship. We're going to receive the Lord's Supper, which is very important. And we always like to say it's not something that we just want to tag on the end of the service because we're doing it out of a ritualistic thing. No, as often as you do it, you remember the Lord's covenant and his death and his burial and his resurrection. It keeps us in remembrance of what Christ did for us. So that's why we do it. And you know what? It's a great time for us to say, you know what? I'm marking this day as I receive the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus today in communion, that I am going to recognize some areas in my life, one thing that I want to change, and then giving yourself 100% to it. And if you're in this room today and you know, maybe you don't know Christ the way I'm talking about, all this comes down to salvation. It comes down to a relationship with Jesus. It does. And you know what? There's a million churches, and everybody, a lot of them have the same focus at the end. It's Christ on the cross, risen for us. They have different differences in doctrine. I'm here to tell you that it's not church, creed, or doctrine that gives you salvation, because everybody has a little different spin. I don't care who you are or what you say. Everybody puts their own thought on it. What's important is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, and regardless, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than if I put my bed in my garage, somehow I'll turn into a car. You understand? It doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. I said, coming to church doesn't make you any more a Christian than me putting my bed in the car, in a garage, somehow will transfer me into a car. It just doesn't happen. That's not how we receive Christ. Coming to church is subsequent when you receive salvation. But I'm here to offer you today is the gift of giving. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And that's the greatest gift of all. And I'm here to give you that opportunity today. If you've come here and you may not know, and you don't know if you're saved or you're a Christian or born again, whatever terminology you've heard, the bottom line is this: Jesus Christ desires to have a relationship with you. And today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Today is. And I don't know where you're at. And you know what? Every day is a gift. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, we're not guaranteed 20 minutes from now. Every day is a gift. And the sad news is that people leave this earth every day. Every day. Every hour without knowing Christ. And it breaks my heart. It's got to tear the Lord apart that they spend eternity in hell and torment forever because they didn't have an opportunity to receive the gift. It should make what we do that much more important. So I'm offering it to you today. And I, you know, if you've never received Jesus Christ into your heart and said, "Hey God, I'm sorry. I know that I need you. I want you in my life. Forgive me of my sins." If you've never prayed anything along those lines and you're not certain, I'm just going to ask, with nobody looking around, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to see who you are today. And you want to receive salvation. Listen, receiving Christ is the greatest gift you can ever have. It gives you eternal life into the presence of God, that when we leave this earth, we don't have to spend the rest of our life, because we are going to live forever, in torment. We spend it in paradise with God. So I'm just asking you today, don't delay. Do not delay. If you don't know Christ, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. We have some information we want to give to you, and today will be the first day of the rest of your life. And I'm just going to wait a minute, you know, and there's no shame. All of us have had to come to this point in our life, and the sooner the better, I could tell you that. Anyone, would anybody want to receive salvation? Then I believe, let me ask you this, how many people know Jesus Christ and you're certain that you're born again in this place? Let me see your hands then. Let me see. Then every hand should be up. So then praise the Lord. Glory to God. So I ask you to commit to what we talked about in changing one small thing in your life. Let me, I got to get my guitar on. Give me a second. Because I'll be receiving communion with no music. All right, praise the Lord. Everybody get their, your communion elements? All right. I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23. And again, we receive communion not as a ritualistic thing, but it's to put us in remembrance of what Jesus did. And you know, with communion and receiving the broken body and the blood, the elements that represent that, we receive healing into our body. So if you need healing in your body today, when you take communion, you take health and healing into your body. And there's forgiveness of sins. And when we receive communion, that's why we do. And the Bible says to do, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of what? In remembrance of what Jesus did and the physical pain and suffering that he went through on the cross for us so that we would never have to suffer again. That's the gift of salvation. And there's no better time than now celebrating the birth of our Savior. So, for this is what the Lord himself said, and I pass it on to you just as I received it. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body." Where's mine? This is challenging. I'm going to lie to you. "This is my body, which is broken." I got to find out where I am. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was beaten beyond recognition so that we can have healing in our bodies, Father. And we thank you that right now we take healing as this represents the broken body. We take it into our body right now, Father. We thank you for the healing power that works in us in Jesus' name. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as you drink it, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary, Father, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But because Jesus paid the price once and for all, we have access into your throne room anytime. And Father, we thank you for that shed blood of Jesus Christ that gives us forgiveness of sin, Father, and grants us access and causes us to become covenant partners with you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.